Hey, good afternoon. This is the Biz Buzz Show. I'm Catherine Johns with Michelle Rempel, and our guest is Sue Kramer Harwood from Peace of Mind Virtual Assistants. Now, we're going to find out all about what virtual assistants do and who they are anyway and how Sue got into this, and I have a million other questions.
That's right.
How about you?
Absolutely.
And, you know, it occurred to me that I should do a whole big introduction, but then it's so much easier if you just introduce yourself. What do we need to know about you in 30 seconds or less?
CEO of my company, about 20 years of admin support experience.
Wow.
And very, very passionate about educating the marketplace about virtual assistants.
Very good. And
yeah,
you stuck to the time guide.
Yeah.
Well, I'm impressed. So tell me what, you know, some people actually don't even know what a virtual assistant is. So let's start with that. So what is a virtual assistant? What would you ask a virtual assistant to do?
We are self-employed small business owners. Typically, we came from corporates and have about, you know, 20-plus years of admin support background. And we can do soup to nuts on a business, anything that doesn't have to be done on site. Just quick examples, executive assistance work, bookkeeping work, updating your website. Social media is a big thing for us as well. Basically, also helping business owners manage the company so they can do activities that they enjoy and they're good at.
So it seems like this would be boom times for virtual assistants because so many people are starting their own businesses or their own freelance practices or whatever. I mean, people have different ways of thinking about it, but there are so many people who have been aced out of corporate jobs.
Yeah.
And they're launching something on their own, and they need somebody like you.
They do. They really do. And depending on what their budget is, they can get someone who is highly skilled, or if they need someone who is newer or maybe looking at an intern, they may want to look at that as well. But, yes, it's a good time for virtual assistants because many times when you were in corporate, you know, somebody else did the marketing and the finance and, you know, the tech support and all that
right.
stuff. And now you're like, oh, my gosh, now I have to do all this.
Right, yeah. And we're not good at it all.
Right.
Some of
right.
us aren't good at any of it, right?
Yeah, really. Yeah. So what do you tell a prospective client who wants to engage one of your virtual assistants? What are some of the things that you tell them they need to have in place before they start?
They need to have a good budget because a virtual assistant, you want to have a long-term relationship. So we have to charge enough fees to stay in business because most of our clients are long-term clients. They want to have the same VA with them for years. And if the VA is charging a lower price, they're not going to be able to stay in business.
Sure.
So, and also, a business owner, if they really do want to work with a VA, they have to understand that we are small business owners as well. We just happen to have a specialty of support. So they are going to get a business owner mindset, not just someone who is, you know, working 9 to 5 and looking for that paycheck on Friday. They're
okay.
really getting a professional partner.
Yeah. And don't the business owners have to be willing to give up control? And that's got to be
Ooh,
hard.
Yes. I flew into action on that one. Wait, give up control? What are you talking about?
Yes, ideal business owners and clients for us, they cannot be micromanagers. They have to be able to give up control and really trust and have very good communication skills because they're not going to see that person like they're used to in their corporate job.
Right.
And
right.
so what could somebody expect to pay a virtual assistant? I'm sure there's a range. It's kind of all over the map. But give me what the range might be or what an average might be.
I would say in North America, I'm going to give it is a large range depending on the specialty. It could be anywhere from $30 an hour on to $100-plus depending on what the specialty is.
So what's the $100-plus? What are they doing for that?
That's typically
washing
more
my dishes.
There you go. Yeah. Driving your limo, you know. Usually more technical and some higher level social media, some very advanced PowerPoint sometimes as well.
Oh. Do they do Prezi too? You know about Prezi?
What's Prezi? I don't know.
Oh, sorry. Prezi is like PowerPoint on steroids. It's Prezi.com.
Yep.
Really cool stuff. We can talk about that later.
But that's the sort of thing that
yeah.
somebody might not learn to do, but instead they would get a virtual
exactly.
assistant who does know it.
Exactly.
Now, I am a new customer of Infusionsoft,
yeah.
which strikes fear into my heart. And in fact, today I sent out my first Infusionsoft thing. I'm so excited, inviting people on my so far kind of small list to opt in for my No Buts Action Guide to Getting Up and Getting Your Message Out. And then, of course, be on my newsletter list
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah.
So I'm learning Infusionsoft. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to learn everything there is to know about Infusionsoft because there's a lot to know. It is very robust, as they say.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I could find a virtual assistant to do that for me,
yes? We have several. In the last few years, more and more certification programs are coming out for VAs, for Infusionsoft, because many speakers and coaches like yourself are going to Infusionsoft. And, yes, it is very techy, and it takes a lot of time for someone who is not well-versed in it. So, yes, Infusionsoft is definitely becoming more popular.
It has all kinds of bugs. You know, I shouldn't say that out loud. The Infusionsoft people would be so unhappy. But, you know, I'm working with this certified Infusionsoft coach, and she says stuff like, oh, well, this just happens, you know, where spacing gets mixed up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's all stuff that can be fixed, but why don't they make it right in the first place? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This stuff is frustrating, and I assume it's the same with AWeber or any of those other services, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot to learn.
It is a lot to learn, and that's why you got to give up control, Catherine.
If you had to guess, like, is there a category of businesses that is most likely to use a virtual assistant?
It typically is smaller businesses. Many solo entrepreneurs that are home-based work with us because that way they don't have somebody coming into their home or their shared space.
Sure.
There are larger companies that partner with us as well. But I would say the small business market is a large part of our business.
And within that, you mentioned speakers and coaches in connection with Infusionsoft, but there's probably people who do all kinds of things.
Absolutely. Consultants, you know, business managers, business advisors, you know, even manufacturing companies, communications firms. There's many, many different professional services, quite a few of that industry, yes.
So we always like to look at the business of the business.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the business of being a VA, can somebody make good money being a VA?
They can, yes, with the right specialty, or if they want, you know, many clients, they can. They just really need to make sure that they manage well.
And is it also something, if I said, you know, maybe I only want to work 10 hours a week because I've got kids or I've got another job or whatever, I could limit my, you could do that and
Absolutely.
Be a VA,
yes.
right?
Yes, the VAs come in for all different kinds of reasons. We have many that are moms, and they really do say, okay, I have 20 hours a month that I'm going to work my business, and they choose those clients that mesh with their availability.
So, you know, I imagine that a VA is primarily a female type of profession, but do you have several males?
We do. We do. More and more men are coming into the field.
Okay.
But, yes, the majority still is women.
Yeah, okay. And with some of the things that your virtual assistants offer, what are the most popular things that are being asked for right now?
I would say sweet spots are executive assistants, personal assistants, translation services are becoming more popular. Bookkeeping is always a favorite because every business owner needs to have a great bookkeeper.
Yeah.
Well, they should. We work with them on that.
Yeah.
Social media is huge.
That's why I have QuickBooks. Why do I need a bookkeeper?
Because unfortunately a lot of folks use it as an electronic checkbook, which is not what QuickBooks is for. So, and sometimes we...
What do you mean?
...spend more money...
Guilty.
We have to come in and fix it than they would if they just said, here, Sue, take it over.
Got it.
So, yeah, so social media, SEO, WordPress is huge. Yeah,
okay.
So those are... and then project management, because, again, so many businesses have so many projects going on that you need a project manager, or in our industry we sometimes call it an online business manager, an OBM, to manage all the projects, manage the team members, manage the business.
Now, I assume virtual assistants are called virtual assistants because it's all virtual, right?
Yeah.
But do you ever have situations where you're actually meeting with your clients face-to-face?
Yes.
Getting together and working on a project or something.
And that really depends on the VA. When a client is thinking about a VA, he should really ask that question, because we have some VAs who never want to meet clients. They just don't. They just flat out,
why not?
I am not that way. I like to meet people face-to-face, but some just don't. They said, you know what, I created my business to be virtual for a reason, and that's that. But there are those of us who will meet with our clients. You know, we'll fly out or they'll meet with if we're local. But, yeah, so it truly depends on the VA.
So do you have international clients then?
I personally do not, but many of my colleagues do.
Okay.
Yep.
And they certainly, I suppose, have clients who are all over the country.
Absolutely, yes.
Are most of your clients here in the Chicago area?
We have, majority of them are here, and that, but we do have, you know, East Coast, West Coast.
Now, you run kind of a referral business,
I do.
Yes?
Yeah.
So if I were looking for a VA, I could come to you, and you would help me find the person who is a good fit.
Right, and first of all, before when you come to me, on my site,
and where and your site is, we should
it
say.
It is vapeaceofmind.com.
Thank you.
Vapeaceofmind.com.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And we have selection criteria through Peace of Mind because partnering virtually is a very close-knit partnership, so I really want to make sure that the clients that come to us are a good fit. We're a good fit for them and vice versa. So a lot of it has to do with personality, management, communication style, that type of thing.
So how would what would I say that would help somebody like you find me the right person? What would you want to know?
I would want to know, are you good? Will you delegate?
Going back
of
to that,
course.
Going back to that control thing.
Yeah,
that keeps coming up.
Control freaks need apply. Are you a good communicator? And if you're not, are you willing to learn how to communicate better? Do you have trust issues, or are you okay with somebody who you cannot see and you may never see, or you may see just a few times a year?
Right.
Are you willing to, you know, do you pay your bills, which is silly as that sounds, you know, when I'm not seeing you every day and I'm trusting you to pay your bills and pay them on time, that can be a big issue.
Right.
So you have to really have integrity, be personable, be a good communicator, and really want to delegate.
All right. So what is the advantage of a virtual assistant versus just hiring somebody to work with me?
A couple things. A, we are not looking for a paycheck on Friday or every 2 weeks. We are business owners. This way, we have a business owner mindset. Some people like that. Some people don't. Also, you're not paying a salary benefits package. You are getting a highly skilled professional without paying all the extra stuff that a corporate employee would have. So you pay only for the time that we work on your projects. And then, again, you're getting that consultant piece, the person understands how to run a business, so they get all the things that you have to do when you're doing a PowerPoint at midnight because you have a presentation the next day.
I could get you to stay up with me until midnight?
I was going to say, or you could delegate it, you could go to bed, and we could take care of that. Beautiful thing.
I'm liking this better and better.
Yeah.
This
my
great.
Slave, my personal assistant, right?
No, yeah. Michelle, we are your partner.
Oh, sorry. So speaking of that, have you had any odd requests for virtual assistant?
We have some very specific software.
Okay.
We have very unique things. Not very often, but every once in a while we will. And, you know, I go out to my network, and if I don't have somebody that I know personally, I will reach out to my network and say, you know, hey, you guys, who do you know that has X?
Okay. So some software program that's was developed 20 years ago. And
yeah.
So.
Or something that, you know, is very proprietary.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Now, there's a whole association. In fact, there might be several of virtual assistants. If I were going to look for a virtual assistant, would I be smart to look for somebody who's a member of these professional groups, or does it really matter one way or the
other?
It is
my personal opinion that yes. I think that's a very good idea because they're committed to their industry. And especially if they're on a board or if they're volunteering, that's a plus, too, because they're learning more skills because they're surrounded by people in their industry. So when I'm looking to add to our team, I really look at, are they affiliated with a great organization? I'm a big fan, as you know, Catherine, of IVA, or the International Virtual Assistants Association, which has a public directory that you can go on.
Oh, so you can just go to their website
and find
some referrals.
Absolutely.
And then talk to those people and pick somebody out.
Yep.
Now, you train virtual assistants,
do you?
So tell me about that.
We have a couple different things. I coach them if they're new VAs or if they want to learn how to have better relationships with their clients. I'll teach them, you know, what to look for because I've personally, I've had some very, very long-term relationships with my clients. On the other side, if they are newer or maybe a seasoned VA and they want to join some teams, we have a new course called Exceptional Subcontractors, and I'm joined with seven other top VA leaders. We teach things like, you know, team communication, accountability, problem solving, those kinds of things.
Well, wait, I'm confused about this team business. How does a VA wind up being part of a team?
There is multi-VA firms out there that basically will bring other VAs on that may not want to market themselves as an individual VA, and they have a team. So if you needed, you know, says, hey, Sue, I just want to work with one VA company, you would work with a team VA. And they would help you with your Infusionsoft, PowerPoint, you name it.
But it might be different people doing
it. It would,
different things.
But you
I
may
see.
Have one project manager sometimes, too. Yeah.
Boy, that sounds like a lot of money, is I guess what I'm thinking. Like, who could afford that? Who could afford that?
Many business owners can afford that. Because if you think about it, you are only paying for the time that that professional works on your product.
Sure. So you're not trying to find other things for them to do. If
Right,
know,
exactly. If
you're
paying
hire
somebody 40 hours a week and you only have 20 hours a week worth of work, you're still paying them for 40.
Right.
If you were partnering with a VA, you would only be paying 20.
Okay, yeah.
And that would be at no extras.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
So back me up a little bit about, I started asking about you and your business. How did you get into this? You were an administrative assistant and, or administrative professional or whatever the right word for that is. And then you said, okay, I want to be my own boss, or you said my company moved out of town and my job left. How did you make that transition?
Like many people, it was due to a corporate restructuring. And you know, I had called my mentor that day when it happened, and she said, Sue, you know, I think it's time you look at this VA thing. And it started as simply as that. I didn't have a plan. You know, I know that the people that, you know, create business plans are screaming right now, but I'm just being honest. I did not have a plan. I thought, and she told me, you could take what you have experienced in 20-plus years of corporate and, you know, start your own firm. And that's what I did, as simply as that.
And so how did you get started? Did you just have an office in your house and you started printing business cards? How did you get?
Absolutely. I had an extra bedroom, and that's what we did. At the time, I didn't have a computer, printer, anything, so we started. And
we,
back in those days,
we is who?
Me.
Okay.
I usually say we because peace of mind is a team company, really.
Okay, gotcha.
But, you know, that was back when
Publisher was big. But in the beginning,
it was you. It was totally me, and I thought, if nothing else, I can focus just on serving the Chicago small business owners, and it very quickly outgrew just me.
Fantastic. Love that.
And so, were you scared about starting your own business? I mean, I think for a lot of people, that's a really nerve-wracking thing, and it feels safer to have a job. I don't think it always is safer, but I think it feels like there's more security in an actual job.
Yes and no. I had contracted off and on throughout being an employee, and also I had some Mary Kay Cosmetics training, which to me is just awesome business training.
Yeah.
So I kind of knew certain things going into it, and then, you know, my parents had always raised me to be, you know, a hard worker and an entrepreneur, so that helped as well.
So you started off by yourself,
yes,
in your spare room.
Mm-hmm.
You got a printer.
Yep.
How did you get your first client?
My first client actually was the lady who mentored me. She's a coach here in Chicago, and she also sent me referrals. So that's how I got my second client, and on and on and on.
Well, on and on. How on and on? Did you advertise? Did you go to the Chamber of Commerce and do an elevator speech? Did you just get referrals? How did that?
I got referrals, and then I did belong to, at that time, the Oak Brook Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And they were wonderful people, still are.
Okay.
Got on some committees, which, as you know, serving on committees really, really helps meet people, and they can see, you know, what you bring to the table. And it went from there.
So if somebody is listening to this going, wow, that sounds like a cool thing, maybe I could do that, what advice would you give them?
I would definitely tell them to do a lot of research. They can go to my site.
You would tell them to have a business plan, wouldn't you?
Yes, Catherine, I would. Don't do what I did.
Right, exactly.
All right, do some research. Then what? Like, what do they need to do to set themselves up and make this work?
They need to figure out what they want to do and what they don't want to do. Don't just say, I know PowerPoint, I can make money at this, if they actually hate PowerPoint. So,
yeah.
So really focus on the things that they enjoy, and think about who they might enjoy working with.
Right. That makes a big difference. And I'm sure
it does.
You probably have some VAs who make the mistake of saying, oh, I can do everything.
Yes.
Right?
And I was one of those VAs many, many years ago. And then I thought, okay, this is just dumb. I'm not really good at this. And that's why, as I met other VAs locally and at our meetings, I would think, you know, oh, this is great. So when I had that, you know, I would give it to a real live bookkeeper and I would, you know, all those types of things. Because you're right, Michelle, we're not all good at everything.
Right. Now, you know, there are some, you can get foreign VAs
yes.
for much cheaper.
Yes.
Why not do that? You know,
you
not
can.
Much money.
You can. Oh, so it's offshoring, is
uh-huh.
that it?
Yeah,
I can have a VA from Bombay.
For like $3 an hour, you know.
Yes, you
love
can.
That.
Sure, I know.
You can. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
It's the client's option.
Okay.
Peace of Mind is our team is North American based, but
okay.
again, there are probably fantastic people offshore.
Sure. Well, you're being very diplomatic about that.
Unfortunately,
yes.
we are trying to stir
yeah.
this up, right? Well, it is an interesting thing. I guess,
yeah.
you know, one of the things I know about people who own their own businesses is often they are operating on a shoestring. Not that I have any personal experience with that.
No.
So there is an inclination to look for the bargain,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that can
yeah.
blow up in your face, I'm guessing.
It can, depending on the person.
Yeah.
I have heard horror stories of, you know, I tried to do this a cheap way, and now, you know, I'm coming back to you. But I always tell people, you know what? You have to have a budget and look at your budget and be realistic.
Right.
You know, if you can stretch a little, I would encourage you to stretch, not just because you're sending me a check, but because, again, it goes back to the longevity. If the VA is charging a very small rate, it's very likely they may not be able to stay in business very long.
Yeah.
And you do want that, you know, person. I have a client that I've been with for almost 10 years now.
Wow.
And then others for several years. And they can rely on me because they know that I'm charging enough to cover my costs as a business owner.
Well, that makes sense. That does make sense. Yeah.
So you do social media, or VAs often do so.
Yes.
I don't know if you personally do that.
I do.
But,
I do.
Yeah.
I am a novice, Catherine, but many of my colleagues are advanced intermediate users.
Well, you're in the right place because, of course, Michelle is a social media maven.
There we go.
Right?
That's right.
Coincidentally does the Social Media Minute as
awesome.
Part of this show. So
I do.
What did you bring for us today from MediaVine Marketing?
Yeah, you know, I just wanted to remind small business owners, especially ones who have a storefront, that they really need to make sure that they're claiming all of their listings on these different directory sites. You know, we just met with a couple of, well, they're new clients now, who have an art house gallery framing shop, but they hadn't claimed their listing on Google Local, they hadn't claimed their listing on Yelp or anywhere else. And so what was happening is they were getting reviews, but they had no idea that they were getting reviews.
Uh-huh.
And they were letting other people define their digital presence for them. Now, fortunately for the shop, they had awesome reviews.
Okay. Good.
But
good.
They didn't have any information filled out. On
oh, like what hours they're open
they
and all
nothing.
Of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they had nothing. And the thing is that we talk to a lot of companies like this that have storefronts who haven't done any of that.
Okay, now let me ask.
Yeah.
What is wrong with these people? Because if you own a business and it's a physical location, I mean, how could you not do that? Do they not know it exists, or they're just in it, or they're
well,
just busy?
Well, they probably need virtual or us, but
yeah.
they, you know, they need help because they get, you know, most business owners, especially of a certain size, they get overwhelmed with the day to day, and they forget that there's a whole digital world out there that is searching for them, and that's looking them up and seeing what other people are saying about them,
yeah.
and I don't part of it's fear, I think, you know, it's fear of. The unknown and, you know, what if people are going to... But the thing is, they're judging you already.
No kidding.
You've got to take control of it.
And,
it happens
and it,
all the time.
And it really is true, Michelle, because I think many people, because I work with both online businesses and brick and mortar that are, they want no part of social media.
Right.
And they are doing just fine without it, which is great. But
for
many,
now.
for now, but people with smaller storefronts, really, you know, Yelp is big and there's
yeah.
so many listings out there that... That if they would just do a little bit and even invest just a little bit of money, it's amazing because everybody, as you know, Foursquare is big and,
yep.
and a lot of other things. That social media in the digital age is not going to go away. I mean,
nope.
I'm an old school, old fashioned girl, and I had to just say, you know what, get with it because it's not going away.
It's not. It may not be the form that it is today, but there will always be, you know, some sort of digital presence that you got to have. So, yeah.
So your advice is
claim those listings.
Now, just in a really abbreviated way, how does somebody do that? If they're a business and they they've never claimed a listing, what do they do? Look themselves up and
Google themselves on Google, of course. Go to Google, find their listing, and Google will already most likely have a listing for them. And then you just follow the trail. It'll click on the link, and then it'll say, do you own this business? Claim this listing. You do that. You go through the process. You may have to communicate with Google. Like, they'll call you to verify that it's you and all that.
Make sure it's real.
But you just go through a bunch of steps. And, you can hire people to do it for you. Of course, that's something that we provide as well. And get it done. Just take it care of.
Now, once it's done, do you have to maintain it in some fashion?
It's a good idea to check on it once a month. See what kind of reviews you're getting. Do you need to respond to reviews if you can? Do you need to ask people for reviews and bolster the reviews that you have online?
Can I just say that I hate Yelp?
Yeah, well, most of us
and
do.
I'm not alone. I know.
You're not alone. Most people do.
When I was in business at Chicago Hypnosis Center, we got one bad Yelp review.
Yeah.
And then we had a dozen really positive reviews, all of which Yelp hid.
Yeah.
And people would write reviews and they would hide yet another one.
Yeah.
And then, because most of our clients were middle-aged women, they didn't have a huge presence on Yelp. I mean,
right.
They say that part of their algorithm is
if
you Yelp regularly,
exactly,
you're more likely for yours to show up. Our clients weren't those people.
Right.
They were people who really liked us, and Yelp hid them.
Yes.
But left the one disgruntled client
exactly.
out there.
Exactly, one who probably has done 250 negative reviews. Right?
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding, she doesn't like anything.
Right, yeah. And it's unfortunate.
It really is, man.
But,
and there was no way to get rid of it, get around it.
It was
just a nightmare.
Well, speaking of a couple of companies that, are really trying to work on their digital presence, a couple of sponsors that we have, right?
Yes.
Yes. So if you're at a party, and have you been to a party recently where there weren't?
Oh, wait.
You haven't been to a party recently? let me qualify that more. It's crowded. There's no tables. There's no chairs. You're having to carry around your food and your drink. And then you're trying to answer your phone at the same time or shake somebody's hand, and you're going, oh, my gosh, I can't do this. Well, the Party Plate has come up with the solution. The Party Plate allows you to have your wine glass, your beer bottle, or your soda can in the middle of the plate, and then you can put the food around it, and then you hold it on the bottom. Now you have a hand-free to answer your phone, to shake a hand, to do whatever. So you can find them at thepartyplate.com. And right now they're actually working on raising funds through Indiegogo, one of those crowdfunding sites, to help them expand their market. So go to thepartyplate.com. The other one, our other sponsor is Coffee Cake Connection. I know we've talked about them before.
Ooh,
they're all natural, wonderful, a lot of organic berries and all kinds of things in these coffee cakes. But for Valentine's Day, they're doing heart-shaped.
Of course.
Heart-shaped
coffee cakes.
Yes. So you can get raspberry white chocolate coffee cake with a beautiful streusel.
Yum. Sounds good.
In a heart shape. And you can ship it anywhere in the U.S. to somebody you love and care about for Valentine's Day. So that's CoffeeCakeConnection.com.
CoffeeCakeConnectionSingular.com?
Correct.
Okay.
That's right.
Perfect.
So there you go. Yeah.
All right.
I love it.
Now, on the subject of websites, we should mention yours one more time.
That's right.
It is VA, so B is in virtual, A is an assistant, peaceofmind.com.
All right.
And if I wanted to go to virtual assistant to VAPeaceofmind.com, what could I do there? You got a lot of resources.
I got a lot of stuff.
I know. So just give me an idea, why somebody might want to check that out, not just because they want to hire you today, but because they could learn a lot of interesting
stuff. Absolutely. We have a tip sheet on the homepage and several videos. I believe our tip sheet is the 12 things your virtual assistant wants you to know.
I was laughing about that. Give me one of those.
Oh my gosh. Let's see. I cannot read your mind.
Oh,
we're not mind readers, so pretty much, help us out on that. We also have some great videos, the definition of, what is a virtual assistant. We also have an audio on there as well.
So this is a place for people not only to find a virtual assistant, but to get kind of educated about.
It's very much an educational site, and I purposely did that because I want people to, whether it's 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they can go there and learn pretty much everything they need to know, get their questions answered. The Q&A with Sue Page talks a lot about, you know, who we work with, what VAs are, what are good fits for us, that type of thing.
Perfect. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank
this is
you,
interesting.
Lady. Thank you very
and
much.
When I get ready to hire somebody to do this damn Infusionsoft for me, I'm calling you. All right. Our guest is Sue Kramer Harwood from Peace of Mind Virtual Assistant. You know Michelle Rempel, and I'm Catherine Johns. This is the Biz Buzz Show, and we're part of the Linked Local Network. Linked Local Network says, link locally and connect globally. And, you know, we have a full lineup of shows, 4 o'clock every weekday afternoon. And, of course, you can listen anytime because we're archived once we've done the show.
That's right. Go to blogtalkradio.com, search for Catherine Johns, and you'll find all of the podcasts.
I love that.
Search
for me.
Woo!
Yay. All right. We'll see you next week.